Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's August the 17th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of Agrovisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois. And we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons. Bill Mayer usually joins us from the grain elevator in Lexington, Illinois. He's away this afternoon. In agricultural news, USGS says most private water wells in the United States exceed farm chemical standards, and U.S. lawmakers are making a push to open more countries' borders to U.S. beef exports. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. And then, just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take a complete look at today's agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this Thursday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. We'll take a look at those numbers from Chicago. Didn't actually bring them up. I'm going to put them in front of me. Give me a moment here. They finished like this in Chicago. From the Board of Trade, wheat futures finished the nearby September contract at 367, or rather 363.5. They were off 8 cents for the day. December futures down 8.5 at 383. Corn futures were down 2.5 cents at 219 in the September contract. December futures at 235.5 were off 2.5. And the March contract down 2.75 at 249.75. December futures at 285.5 were down 3.25 for the day. Soybean futures now September contract off 3/4 at 551.5. And the November's at 564.5 are off 0.5. January futures down 0.5 cent at 577.25. November beans at 619.75 were down 1. Bean meal futures up 130 for the day at $160.50 a ton. September bean oil futures at 24.86 were down 29. Feeder cattle over at the Mercantile Exchange. August contract a dime lower at 115.57.5. And the August live cattle at $87.10 a hundredweight were down 82.5 cents. Live October cattle up 25 cents at $92 and a nickel. October lean hogs at $65.72.5 finished 95 cents higher for the day. Outside markets, crude oil September contract $70 even. They were off $1.89. The CRB index at 331.78, down 5.76 for the day. And the dollar at 85.12, down 0.23, or rather up to 0.23. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 11,346.33. That's up about 19 points for the hour.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade, the Mercantile Exchange, is Dan Zwicker of Agrovisor Services in Bloomington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the technical side of this market, and we should start, I think, with the soybeans, please.
Well, soybeans are trying to make a stand here at this 550 level or so. So far, I would call it more of at least a consolidation period. There's nothing really that kind of indicates that a bottom is developing, especially after today. I do think, though, if the market would come back and kind of close higher tomorrow, at least we would kind of get into a situation where we could maybe close out the week higher with a weekly reversal up. And that would at least indicate that maybe we are about, maybe we've kind of run the course on the soybeans. But you can kind of measure a lot of your chart gaps if you kind of want to use the gap on beans that we had here. We actually had it prior to the August crop report. I kind of look at this 590 as the midpoint of that gap. If you've used that as a measuring gap, or the halfway point of a decline measured off of like your 640 high, that kind of indicates you've got a downside price risk of in November beans down into that 540 range. So far, we're we're trying to hold here in the 60s, but we're continuing to kind of make new lows for the move, just like we did here today, even though we did close unchanged.
I assume if you're looking at that, you're thinking that the next September USDA crop production report will show a larger bean crop than they did in August.
Well, I think the trade's working that in, so it may be old news by the time that comes around, but I think that's what the trade's wanting to work, especially if the rains that are on the weather maps now for the next 2-3 days or whatever, if they are realized, I think that would at least have the trade feeling more comfortable that the national average yield will reach 41 bushels fairly easily, and I think that they would price that into the marketplace. But yeah, I would say. And I think that even goes in corn's favor case, is that with the trade kind of thinking that both numbers are going to grow, it'll probably be difficult to get the market to rally, let alone, or stabilize, let alone rally probably over the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Corn, an interesting case when you look at the charts, contract lows made earlier in the week and then again. And yesterday we thought that things might be turning around, but she dropped off again this afternoon.
Yeah, and probably what's disappointing is that it closed lower on some pretty good demand news. I mean, we've had pretty good active end-user demand underneath this market for the last few days. USDA gave us a weekly export sales report showing 63 million bushels of corn were sold the week prior to the crop report. So there has been good interest, ownership interest in corn, but the inability of it to kind of stabilize or at least try to get any uplift from it kind of indicates that you still have some long liquidation activity going on in the marketplace, and that's just, you know, a dominant force at this time of year.
So new contract low made today into December, of course, at 234. How much lower do you think that market might go?
Well, I think you could probably, you know, if you kind of want to use, let's put it this way, if you use the crop report gap as kind of the midpoint of a move measured off of the high you had back here in, let's say, maybe early July or
July
that July weather scare rally.
Yeah, that'd be up at what, on a high of 384.5?
About 384. So if you use 53 as your measuring gap and 84, you're talking about 30 cents roughly. Subtract 30 cents off of 52 or 53, that kind of puts you down into the 220s.
So there's potentially another dime. Now, tell me about the cash market and what basis has done and how you see it all operating as we head through harvest season, because most had thought that futures might bounce back, but that even if that happens, that cash will widen out as we go through harvest.
Well, what we're seeing, at least in the near term, actually, with all this pickup of end-user demand, I mean, a lot of this demand was scheduled to come into play during August when farmers were emptying out old crop inventories, you know, because everybody kind of gears toward this marketing low loan that's kind of materialized over the past several years during the month of August and early September. So end users are coming in here and buying this. They've all planned to do that. So that buying is actually firming basis levels in many areas. I'm not too sure it's offsetting, if it's firming enough to offset today's loss, but we have seen basis improvement because of this activity. Farmer selling, for the most part, has been fairly quiet. I think there's probably some old crop corn that needs to kind of move into market channels, but that might be moving into market channels through basis contracts or delayed pricing agreements, whatnot. But as a group, farmers are fairly tight holders of corn, at least at this point. But I think the trade is anticipating that the yield prospects in the Eastern Corn Belt increases the chances that farmers in those areas are probably going to have to be some sellers of inventory because there's not going to be enough room for it all.
And then here in the Eastern Corn Belt, as you talk to producers, are they willing holders of the corn that they've got on hand at the moment, whether that be 25% or 30% of the crop that they've got left? Or
I haven't talked to any farmers that's got a lot of inventory around. I think the few that do have inventory. I think they're willing to, you know, if they got it just a little bit, they're willing to kind of hang on to it and see kind of what happens. But I haven't talked to a lot of farmers that have inventory, but I, you know, I'm not too sure farmers own a whole lot of old crop inventory. I think most of that is pretty well elevator owned, and that's been kind of moved out into the pipelines over the past 2-3 months. Everybody did a better job of marketing corn this year than they did last year because they got caught so bad with the Hurricane Katrina situation. But I think beans are a little different story. I think farmer ownership of beans is probably way much higher than what they would like to have it be, because the bean market really never did give them a good rally to sell. I think they were all kind of wanting something in that 6.5 or 7, and the market just really never had enough steam to get up there.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to think about $7 beans than it is $3 corn, I suppose. But they got the corn and didn't get the beans, did they? So as you look at this, are there pitfalls? I mean, as we've talked about this through the spring and the summer months, it was always store, 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 and eventually it was store your beans, too. Any changes in the philosophy as we look into the next spring?
Well, I'm not one on store, store, store. I can only tell you my experience of being a market advisor and working with farmers here for 30 years or over 30 years. I can tell you the ones that don't have the storage and the ones that have larger financial commitments early, late fall, early winter, do a better job of marketing than the ones that have storage. I've never really been a big advocate of telling people to build bins. I do know that you have to have a certain amount of storage, but I think that storage should be used more from a management tool of managing your inventories, not necessarily storing them. Because storage just lets everybody wait on the rainy day to come that prices will rally and bail them out again, so they have a hard. I don't think they do as good a job of marketing. I think this market, as much as I hate to really say it, it probably has more downside price risk than anybody ever thought it would had, a couple months ago, Todd. And once you go down, it's hard to kind of come back. It takes you a long time, and I think that's kind of where we're at, where, one thing finding the bottom and then rallying is going to be another thing.
Long time in this sense can't be that long, can it? It's got to be sometime in March or April, at the latest, I would think, wouldn't it be?
For what?
For the corn to rally back, it can't stay down that long with demand for ethanol available.
Well, a lot of it depends how big this crop is. I mean, the production increase that we saw last week from what USDA was using, basically we picked up a million or so of those acres that everybody says we need to buy, and if this crop goes up another 150 or 200, there's another one of those million acres that the market thought we needed to buy. So the market may not need to buy as many acres as all the spin has been over the summer months. A lot of it depends on how big this crop is.
So rather than having to buy 4 million, you've produced an extra 2 million acres just on yield.
On this year's supply, yeah.
All right. Okay, anything else to add before I let you go?
That's about it.
Okay, thanks much.
Uh-huh.
Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services in Bloomington, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Thursday afternoon.
Support for WILL is provided by Risk Management Commodities, presenting an Agricultural Outlook meeting on Thursday, August 17th at 7 p.m. at the Decatur Conference Center in Decatur, Illinois, with U of I head basketball coach Bruce Weber. Outlook meetings will also be held on August 19th in West Lafayette, Indiana, and on August 21st at 5 p.m. in Logansport, Indiana. More details at 866-837-9027.
Still got just enough time to dial that number if you want to pick up and go to that meeting with Coach Weber tonight. Go visit our website, willag.org, and dial up the number or just call 866-837-9027. You'll need reservations to go tonight to see Coach Weber, along with Tom Fritz, Lee Goss, Steve Urban, and a few others from Risk Management Commodities. Dave Dickey, of course, on hand, as well as Ed Keezer. And his forecast for tonight says in the north and west central parts of Illinois, mostly cloudy, some scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. Elsewhere in the north and central sections, mostly cloudy, some scattered showers, a few thunderstorms arriving. And in the south, partly cloudy. Lows says Ed from 64 in the north to around 70 in the south. You can see Ed tonight at Decatur. And he'll be there with Coach Weber and Dave Dickey. Once again, the number 866-837-9027.
In agricultural news, the U.S. Geological Survey has released a new study that found many private water wells contain a wide range of both manufactured and naturally occurring inorganic chemicals, and that many of those chemicals exceed levels meeting Environmental Water Agency quality standards. The study says about 11% of private wells have arsenic exceeding EPA standards, 8% have nitrate in excess of EPA standards. The USGS says there have been few programs to monitor and evaluate chemical contamination of private water wells. U.S. lawmakers may consider turning up the heat on South Korea, China, and Russia to reopen their borders to U.S. beef. Greg Dowd is chief economist for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
There are three countries left on the planet of any significant consequence for U.S. Beef exports that are yet to be opened, and those are Russia, China, and South Korea. And I think in all three cases, the U.S. Congress is turning the heat up as they see fit.
31 senators recently signed a letter to South Korea's president warning that the continued beef ban would hurt the chances for a free trade agreement with the U.S. And Dowd says NCBA certainly agrees.
The situation is that the U.S. and Korean government discussed this before we instigated the FTA talks, and Korea indicated that and it agreed to completely resolve the beef issue before we finalize this agreement, and I think that's the expectation from this side.
Korean auditors arrive in the U.S. later this month to evaluate U.S. beef plants. A U.S. inspection team arrived in Brazil yesterday to evaluate sanitary conditions at Brazilian meatpacking plants. They will be in Brazil until September 12th. Brazil is hopeful that the U.S. will approve more meat packing plants to export to the U.S. Currently, the number is 20. The World Trade Organization has reversed its ruling on a long-standing dispute between the U.S. and Canada over lumber. The new ruling says the U.S. failed to comply with international trade rules in its calculation of tariffs on lumber imports. This past April, the WTO found the U.S. had not broken trade rules. Still, the latest ruling may be moot. An agreement is pending between the U.S. and Canada that would settle the dispute over softwood lumber. A member of the House Agriculture Committee says since the collapse of the Doha Round, lawmakers are getting bolder about stating a desire to extend the 2002 Farm Bill. North Carolina Congressman Bob Etheridge.
Well, I think one of the keys as it looks to that, we're going to keep moving forward with it. But the bigger issue is, as you well know, is we've got to make sure we have the funds for the Farm Bill. And we don't want them to get us jockeying us around and not have the dollars. When we did the last Farm Bill 5 years ago, we had a surplus. Farmers haven't created the deficit we now have, and they ought not to be the ones that have to bear the burden of the new Farm Bill as we start to balance the budget. So, yes, we are going to try to push this forward so we negotiate and make sure we have the right numbers in the Farm Bill.
The House Ag Committee has been holding hearings around the U.S. to get feedback on what should be included in a new Farm Bill. Farmers in southeastern Missouri are already harvesting their corn crops. Hot, dry conditions has quickened harvest there. It's roughly 2 weeks ahead of schedule. Test weights are showing moisture at 17 to 18%. U.S. beef importers will be paying less in mandatory assessment fees under a new USDA rule published yesterday. The rule means the beef checkoff will lose about $1 million in revenues for 2006. And China Agriculture University says the nation could experience severe food shortages in the next 10 to 20 years if Chinese officials fail to address growing water shortage problems. The study says China needs to produce 640 to 720 million metric tons of grain by 2030 to feed 1.6 billion people. Last year, China produced 484 million metric tons of grain. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your director of agricultural programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you of two things. First, go to our website at willag.org. Still time yet this afternoon if you'd like to make a phone call and sign up to go over to Decatur, Illinois tonight. Coach Weber will be there along with Dave Dickey and our chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser, and a panel of analysts at the old Holiday Inn Conference Center in Decatur, Illinois. You'll need to make a phone call, so you have to go to willag.org, and you'll make a phone call, pick up that number off the website. The other thing is, thanks much to everybody who came out for the 50th consecutive Agronomy Day on the South Farms that happened this morning. It was a magnificent morning. Eldon Gould, the Risk Management Agency Administrator, gave a very nice address during the noon hour. We appreciate him being on hand with us. A Northern Illinois corn farmer, by the way, and a graduate from the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences. Thanks much to all those who came out to the 50th Agronomy Day right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Brian Stark of the Andersons right here in Champaign County now joins us to take a look at the cash grain market. He's filling in for Bill Mayer, who's away from the office in Lexington, Illinois this afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Brian. Thanks for filling in.
Good afternoon, Todd. No problem.
The cash grain market, as you look ahead, corn futures making contract lows again, and things have been fading just a bit in the basis over the recent months, though I'm told that it's getting a little better. What's happening there at the Andersons?
Well, the basis is getting a little bit better, Todd. Decatur here was posted here just as quick as yesterday at 17 under. Yesterday afternoon went to 7 under. Today, stronger yet, paying option price. So you could see the nearby basis moving fairly quickly and getting stronger as we speak with just the last two or three days. Whether that be a function of trying to find, lack of farmers selling here in the last couple of weeks, most likely with the board being so depressed, but the end users are looking for supply to carry themselves over before we get into harvest, and you can definitely see that through the basis improvement.
You think that'll help put the bottom into the corn market?
I think so. I think the one thing that's contradicting the fundamentals right now is fund liquidation. We don't realize how long these funds are still in the corn market up in Chicago, at least 800 plus million bushels long, and they slowly liquidate with all the outside markets being lower again, crude oil down, natural gas down. It's just weighing on the ag sector. Markets due for a dead cat bounce, some type of corrective tone eventually, and maybe the basis firming will help set that in. But as far as we can see, with the funds continue to liquidate, that pressure is over mounting anything that be a due recovery. So at this point, hard to gauge when the bottom's going to be set in.
What are your bids for the day?
We're $2 cash corn, $2 for fall, $5.29 cash beans, and $5.29 for fall.
Brian, we appreciate you filling in.
Thank you, Todd.
Brian Stark is with the Andersons here in Champaign County, filling in this afternoon for the cash grain segment on a Thursday. Bill Mayer usually joins us. He's out of the office today. In just about 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather. Meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us then. Up next, your regional newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Illinois candidate for Governor Judy Bar Topinka says she can cut the state budget by nearly $4 billion, mostly by controlling health care costs. The Republican state treasurer proposes cutting Medicaid health care for the poor by $2.9 billion. She would pursue more federal money, verify income eligibility, and expand managed care. Topinka says she could cut at least $800 million more by eliminating political jobs that she says Democratic Governor Rob Blagojevich created and slicing pork barrel spending. Blagojevich's budget director, John Filan, calls the plan, in his words, irresponsible and harmful. The governor, meanwhile, has released $5 million in new grants to fund stem cell research in Illinois. Seven projects at public universities in the state will receive money from next year's budget. The two biggest grants were $1.1 million apiece, one to a researcher at the U of I's College of Medicine in Peoria, the other to a scientist at Southern Illinois University at Carbondale. About 190 households just outside the village of Savoy will have to make other arrangements for fire protection next year. Next April, the village fire department will stop service to homes in the Lincolnshire Fields and Maynard Lake areas. That means those owners will have to make arrangements with the Lincolnshire Fields Fire Protection District or even consider annexing into the city of Champaign. Savoy's fire chief says his volunteer department has to serve a growing population inside the village. An attorney is calling on prosecutors in nine Indiana counties to file criminal charges against former priest Harry Monroe. Attorney Patrick Noker has filed a dozen civil cases against Monroe and says he plans to file a 13th involving the alleged abuse of a now 39-year-old man in Vigo County. Law enforcement officials in northern Indiana are launching a program that warns people that they'll face stiff prison terms if they make illegal gun purchases for others. The program is called Don't Lie for the Other Guy. It's aimed at publicizing a federal law against acting as an intermediary between a licensed gun dealer and somebody for whom it's illegal to own a firearm, commonly known as straw purchases. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Thursday afternoon here at WILL AM 580 in Urbana-Champaign. We're joined now to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast by Pete Levitt, meteorologist. Good afternoon to you, Peter.
Good afternoon, Tom.
Tell me about the weather here in the Midwest. It's been a gorgeous day. Will we continue to have good weather?
No, we won't. Sorry to say, but it will be short-lived, the unsettled weather. We have some showers now in northwestern Illinois, mostly northeastern Iowa, southwestern Wisconsin. That's part of a larger area of moisture coming eastward ahead of a cold front. That stuff will move across Illinois this evening and tonight, mostly tonight, and we should see some showers developing from west to east across the state, light at first, but then becoming moderate and maybe even locally moderate to heavy at times during the day tomorrow on Friday. The system will settle out across central Illinois, so the middle part of the state, the middle third of the state, will probably see the most amounts, probably somewhere between 3/4 of an inch and maybe up to 2 inches in some places before it finally shifts eastward and ends on Saturday morning. So we've got a wet spell coming up. Of course, it will cool off the temperatures a bit, but nothing below normal, normal temperatures. And then for Sunday or late Saturday and right through the rest of the weekend and most of the first half of next week, we're looking at some more beautiful weather for the state. So just about a 48-hour episode of showers and not constant, but pretty substantial in the central part of the state.
Extended forecast looking like what on the 30, 60, 90 days?
Okay, on the 30-day, which just came out today, being the middle Thursday of the month, on the 30-day, which is the month of September, we have equal chances, meaning no biases to whether it's above or below normal on temperature or precipitation for all of the Midwest, as a matter of fact, for most of the central part of the country. Above normal in the southwest on the 30-day and below normal precipitation in the west central states. On the 90-day forecast at September, October, and November, we have most of the country forecast to have better than normal chances of above normal temperatures from the Great Basin all the way eastward to the Appalachians, the heart of the warm spell right there in Nebraska and Kansas. So a mild fall is what they're calling for. And as far as precipitation is concerned, We have below normal precipitation on the 90-day forecast for the Midwest. We have a little area of above normal precipitation for the western South Dakota, western Nebraska, and then below normal in the Pacific Northwest. And then the rest of the country is that well-known equal chances, meaning no forecast, essentially.
Peter, we appreciate you being with us today.
My pleasure.
Peter Levitt, meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Thursday afternoons. Thanks much for being along with us. Remember that tonight at the Decatur Conference Center in Decatur, Illinois, that's the old Holiday Inn out on the west side of town, at 7 o'clock, U of I basketball coach Bruce Weber will be joined by Tom French, Lee Goss, Steve Erdman of the AFG Group, along with our own Director of Agricultural Programming here at the radio station, Dave Dickey, and Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser to take you through an ag panel. You need to make a phone call, probably can still do that, to get reservations at 866-837-9027. And that same ag panel, minus Coach Weber, will be in West Lafayette, Indiana at 10 o'clock this Saturday morning, August the 19th. And then next week, a couple more ag panels. I'll tell you about them later in the week. August the 22nd, Dave will be in Bloomington, and I will be in Terre Haute, Indiana. You have a great afternoon, and thanks once again to all those who came out to the 50th consecutive Agronomy Day here on the South Farms of the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois this morning. I'm Todd Gleason.